Good morning.
Good morning.
Brother Ross, thank you for the invitation. I always get excited coming to Texas. I get to know a lot about Texas when I was leading a disaster response of Southern Baptists in very close Muslim countries. And for some reason, the Alabama group, Southern Baptist Disaster Relief, landed first with their boxes said Alabama Disaster Relief. So the whole media there and the news said, oh, you're the Alabama Disaster Relief. So every other state, when they came after them, I said, you need to accept that we are called Alabama Disaster Relief. When the Texan came, they said, no way, we will not accept that. Let me tell you, Abraham, we Texans, we can secede from the Union. So they gave me that history of independence and embassy. Oh, my goodness. I love the spirit of Texan, you know? It's literally, you go to many of these Muslim countries who is a little bit antagonistic against American, and you say American, and you can tell they're a little bit upset. So I told them, say, you're from Texas. For some reason, when they said, I'm a Texan, oh, they start laughing, pulling their gun and cowboy and all of that, you know? But the reason I'm saying this is because, you know what? You can go places. You can close the proximity. And you have a similarity a little bit with the Middle Eastern. Maybe some other time I can go in detail about that. But just to give you a little bit about it. You love your gun. They love their gun too, you know. You're very much family oriented. They are too. You don't forget if somebody in little town made something. You say, oh, this is a son of so-and-so, you know, who did that. They do the same thing, same dynamic. Anyway, I should focus on refugees. Who are the refugees? Refugees are forcibly displaced people. Please remember that, are forcibly displaced people. They're not people who wake up one day and said, you know what? I'm going to take my family and we're going to go and live in a tent for 12 years. No. I remember taking our family for camping, and you know how it is, you know, you take half of your house with you almost, you know, for comfort, and after a few days you feel like, ah, we need to go back home. But just picture people living in tent 10 and 12 years. There are children who are born in a refugee camp and they have no status of any, belong to any country except that belong to that refugee camp. Forcibly displaced people. Could be due to a war, could be due to a drought, could be due to persecution, of whatever the reason, they're forced to be displaced. As we talk about the Ukrainian crisis, you didn't see a lot of Ukrainian going everywhere. They love their country. Maybe a few of them, they chose to go for better economical prosperity and so forth. These are, we call, the economical migrant. They make that choice, and they want to go. So I don't want you to confuse the two. Sometimes politicians, they like to mix the two together. Okay? So just watch that. Be careful. Refugees are different categories, are forced to be displaced. 6+ million Ukrainians are out of their country, scattered everywhere. It breaks my heart. You know, our home is our sanctuary. And in our home, I call our bedroom even, is called it the Holy of Holiness. Our children cannot dare to come to this bedroom. They have to knock the door. It's a privacy. Otherwise, they'll be traumatized or whatever. It's our bedroom. You know, we don't want that. But picture yourself, all of a sudden your bedroom becomes shared with 100 and 200 and 300 people that you don't know them. That's what forcibly displaced people mean. So when I go to those centers and I see this father and his wife and a few children are hugging together, that's their bedroom in that big center, sharing maybe one washroom. And I can tell they're defeated. No more privacy. No more their Holy of Holiness. No more their comfort of their bed. They're beggars. Who are the refugee? People like us. They're educated. Could be an engineer. Could be well off. a teenager, young kids, and sometimes they're displaced, not together. You talk to them and say, well, I don't know where is my daughter. She made it some other country or some other place. So when they cross that international line, that's where we call them refugee. In the international community, they have an agreement since World War II. They came and they signed and they said, yes, people who cross an international border for protection because of forcibly displaced, we need to provide protection. So there is a law that governs how you deal with the refugees. Many NGOs, they jump in to help. Everybody wants to make it different. But guess what? My heart is burdened for what I call the internally displaced people. These are refugees inside their country. They're the poorest of the poor. They don't have the means even to flee outside of their country. So they're surviving the war by hiding in these cities, in this town, and then moving somewhere else and somewhere else. These are the most desperate. Equal amount of Ukrainians are internally displaced in Ukraine. And thank God for your church and many churches who gave generously so we can make a difference. So we can help some family from those big centers to get them a bus ticket so they can go to a better place and resettle. These are the refugees. As I work with refugees, and I've been doing this since 1984, 85, I love the refugee work. And as I read the Bible, I know refugee will increase in number. As we will hear more about famine and earthquake and war and strife, there'll be constantly forcibly displaced people. And the number increase. We're talking about 100 million now and beyond, just refugees, not internally displaced. Will increase more and more. As I work with refugees, I discover that I myself is a refugee. All of us are refugees. You know, I travel the world, and every time I find a good place, I'm based out of Athens, Greece, which people say, wow, Greece is beautiful. But I can tell you many problems with Greece. So I'm not subtle completely. We're Canadian. I go to Canada, but I'm not subtle completely. Yeah, I like it, but not really. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what job you find. You feel yourself restless, even in your job. Maybe I find a different job. Maybe it's better. Why are we restless? Why are we not satisfied? Why are we not happy? Guess what? We do not belong here. We're refugee, forcibly displaced by our sin. The Bible said God, he drove us out of his presence. Sometimes I wish I know where is that place. Maybe I can go to it. Maybe I can pay a smuggler to get me there. You can't. You can't. You want to resettle. You want to go to that place where no more pain, no more death, no more suffering, no more struggle. As a refugee, kicked by God out of his presence, I will use the word kicked by God out. We labor and we struggle because he said that's part of the punishment. That part of the punishment, we struggle here. So we are a refugee. Don't look down upon the refugee south of the border or somewhere else. You and I are refugees. We're struggling just like them. When I tell them that, they can't believe it. You're a refugee? I said, yes. Even if you make it to America, even if you make it to Germany, if you make it to any other country, you're still not going to be satisfied. You're still going to have disease and you're going to die eventually. And you're not going to take anything with you. We're a refugee. What refugee we want? What we want? We want comfort. I don't want no more pain. I don't want to see no more doctors. I don't want no more diseases in my life. I don't want to struggle and deal with different people with difficulties and tension and all of that. I don't want to read people and try to figure their mind and backstabbing and all these hatred and all these issues that we face as a human. I don't want that anymore. But because we're refugees, we live in this status and condition. We see a lot of refugees in the Bible. The people of God, drought, end up in Egypt. Persecution in Egypt, get out of Egypt. 40 years in the desert. 40 years living in the tent, basically. We see Jesus, 2 years and younger, massacre because Herod, he said, who's the king? I'm going to kill every 2 years and younger. I mean, they were tears and pain. And the angel said, hey, Joseph, take your wife, take the baby, go to Egypt. They went the journey of the desert. They didn't decide. I'm sure Mary didn't say, oh, let me take this baby, not even 2 years old, and go through the brutal desert of Sinai toward Egypt. That's forcibly displaced people. We see it throughout the scripture. We see the church when they are so comfortable in Jerusalem, persecution. Go. Get out of your comfort. Preach the gospel. I praise God for his love for us. The solution of the world for refugee, guess what? Walls. I've seen so many walls. I've been in Israel, and I've seen amazing wall with all kind of towers and cameras and everything. No Palestinian cross. I've been in Turkey and Greece. They're building high sophisticated wall. Bulgaria, big wall. Everybody got the concept of wall. You got a wall south of the border too. Walls everywhere. And guess what? They're not effective. They're not effective. As long as the man governs those walls, man is corrupt. So you pay officials, you pay a smuggler, my goodness, with Gaza and Egypt, there's a wall, they have tunnels. You can drive a truck through the tunnels. You can defeat any walls. Except the wall that God put cannot be broken. Cherubim, flaming sword, nobody can cross to his presence. Nobody. What's the solution? What's the solution? We're refugees. Should God forsake us? Should God abandon us? Should we live in this status the way we are? The older I get, I said, Lord, maybe 70, take me home. Because every time I wake up, I feel like I didn't do anything to my hip. Why is now it's not functioning? Or why my arm is hurting? I didn't do anything. I don't want this kind of status. I mean, do you enjoy that? God loved us. Read Philippians and see what he did. He closed the proximity. He came from the high heaven, from his comforts, from his throne. The holy God, the mighty creator of all, said, you know what? I'll come and visit those desperate human. I will obey, and I'll obey even unto death on the cross, so I can pay on their behalf the penalty, so I can take them back home. You know, it's a refugee process. We call this resettlement. Bringing somebody back, or in our case, should be repatriation, because back to our country, because patriza, it means a country in the Greek. Patriation, that's what the Greek term comes. So back to your country. Oh, I'm not anti nationalism and American and Canadian and all that, no. But let's not fool ourselves. Our true country in the presence of God. The new earth and a new heaven. So Jesus came to make way for us, to take your case and said, you know what? I'll settle your case for you. Submit your application. Give me your heart. I close the proximity so much to the point I'm willing to dwell in your heart, in your life, and make that filthy body of yours be my temple. So I can take you back to where you belong. Does that move you? Amen. To close proximity with the refugee, whatever you hear in the media and the politician, that's not our role as a church of Jesus Christ. Our Lord, the verse in Philippians said, have his mind full of love for us. He came from his throne to visit us and make way for us home. Are you not willing to cross the border? and help the refugee? Are you not willing to go next city, maybe help the refugee, or next door, or in your neighborhood? I love, I was talking to Brother Ross, I would love to help you slowly, slowly go through the shallow water and maybe deeper and deeper. And maybe you end up in Iraq and other places. In a country where producing refugees, turmoil there. And maybe you start in the transit country, in Greece. We call it the transit country for refugees. Producing country, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, all of them, the gate to European, the eastern gate is Greece. They come to Greece through Greece. We have a huge Central Relief International Center, and we work among refugees there as well. And sometimes, guess what? They make it to America and Canada. And maybe by touching the life of a person here in America, you'll have an access to his producing country, a secure access to his family and relative and loved one. Maybe you're changing the world for Christ and expanding his kingdom from this place here just because you engage one refugee from that country that been produced. And maybe you will be end up working with his aunt who are in Toronto and his uncle who left in Germany and other who are in Greece and some still in Turkey and maybe in Afghanistan. You're engaging so many. I love the refugee. God, in a way, he's dismantling, and most of them, by the way, from a Muslim-producing country, dismantling their belief, their identity, in despair, total despair. They're dependent only on God. They're very receptive to hear, or what they need to see somebody sharing with them. This is my story. I come from an Armenian descent. I don't know if you know much about the Armenian. Armenian massacre during the Ottoman Empire. The Asia Minor, what we call Turkey today. And I grew up in northern part of Syria with many of these refugees telling you the story how they smuggle each other. Whether Jewish, whether Assyrian, whether Aramaic, whether all kind of people group. That's why they call it Asia Minor, because there is a people group from every walk of life there. So I hear all kind of languages. And I thank God that an American missionary chose to close proximity and come to share with me about the love of God. That's all that it takes. He chose to come all the way to show love to a person like me so I can stand here before you and talk about this mighty God who chose to close proximity to save us and make us his children. To write your name in the book of life. God, our God is God of love. Our God wants to settle your case. I don't know about your situation today. Maybe you're questioning if Jesus is your Savior. I say submit your case to him today. Ask him to resettle your case, to repatriate you, to build home, he said, I'm building home for you, so I can take you to myself, to write your book, your name in the book of life. If your case, a case of antagonistic toward the refugees, I don't understand them, I don't want those foreign to come to my country, I don't love them, I don't like them, ask Jesus to fill your heart with his love. So you can have his mind, you can have his passion toward the displaced people like ourselves. God, he made a way for us. Please help others to find their way to Jesus as you help them physically, emotionally, and spiritually as well. You know, there's many ways you can engage refugees. Many ways. Sometimes I find myself when I go to eat in a restaurant, especially in North America, do you realize how expensive it become? Do you know the bill we pay? And I feel guilty. I don't want you to feel guilty, but it's a fact. The amount that I pay for one lunch or one dinner, the bill, in many places, 1 month's salary for a family to live on. Think about that. Maybe one of the ways you should do you know, when you go out to eat, maybe you should invite Jesus and add that portion, Jesus' bill, that can feed a refugee. Maybe that's one way. Maybe another way, Central Eve has many centers in North America. And some of those centers focus on refugees. Maybe you like to go trip and visit some of those centers and write Central Eve and let them help you to understand more and to be hands-on in engaging refugees. Maybe you like to adopt refugee families. I'm pushing more and more for churches to adopt a refugee family, to adopt a refugee individual person and to journey with them. It doesn't matter where they end up. But we will pray for you. We use the internet. We use the technology. We can talk to them. We can share with them and just help them in that journey wherever they settle, wherever they land. And in the process, you'll be praying for them and sharing about the love of Christ. We have Surf Tour next year, and we're focusing on three major cities, Nairobi, Bangkok, and Athens, Greece. And in Athens, Greece, will be the emphasis a lot on refugees as well. So maybe you'd like to join some of those Surf Tours that Central Eve sitting in place. And you can write Central Eve and say, I want to be part of that. Maybe you're an experienced, and we'd like to take you deeper into these producing countries and make a difference in their life. Maybe you're an engineer, you can help with the water. I have some engineer help in the water qualities for the camp. Others, they help in providing Wi-Fi for the camp. Maybe you're a doctor and you want to help. I have a person who is a barber and he just came and just helped with his cutting hairs and helping them feel like they're human, you know. We have one time a woman they brought together with a hygiene package and then makeup and all of that where women like to have, you know. And they help them and make them feel special about themselves. Sometimes, you know, when the refugee arrive in a country like America or Canada, they struggle. I struggle when I go to shop. And my wife, she's giving me the list, like most of us, I guess. And I look, for example, getting shampoo. Do you know how tiring it is? Like, do you know how tiring it is to find the kind of shampoo you need to get? And you could make a mistake with one word. Oh, that's not the one. Oh, sorry. It is exhausting. So many rice, so many sugar, type of sugar, so many variety of things. A refugee arriving in a country like America, do you know how beautiful it is to be able to walk with them and explain to them? Because they come from many countries, they know only one rice. And all of a sudden now they're confused. Which rice I should buy? They have one kind of soap, one kind of shampoo. What? I mean, I remember a refugee that we brought from Iran and we were in California and we're walking and said, oh, I need to buy this, it's cheaper. I said, no, this is for dogs. And he looked at me and he said, they put animal food in the same place with the human food? It's a shocking to his system. And then he's seeing hospital for animal. I mean, I love animals, don't misunderstand me. But I think we reverse the order of creation. To the point he said to me, I wish you told them I'm a dog. Maybe faster they will be processed to come to America. It took him longer. This is true. These walls we're talking about is very hard to cross, but yet for dogs and animals and birds and everything can cross easy. Only human. Do you notice only human, they don't cross. My wife doesn't like me when I try to test the system. So crossing from Canada to America, I brought an apple with me. Wow, big red flag, different line, you know. So I go, different line. What do you got with you? An apple. You know, you can't bring that in here. I said, well, I'm sure it came maybe from California, you know. What, does it have a sticker on it? Say that? No, I said, I washed it because I want to eat it, you know. Well, you can't bring it in. I said, can I eat it? Yeah, sure. So I ate it. I brought it in anyway. So. But do you notice, like we have rule and regulation. And yet, I'm saying the apple, you stopped me for it. And I'm sure some chipmunks brought many other plant or whatever, back zigzagging back and forth with kids at the borders. or many birds, you know, whatever it is, you know. But only on us, a human, rule and regulation. We didn't see it in the early. And early, if you read the Bible, you didn't see none of those borders. Abraham said to the Lord, hey, you chose where you want to go, there? Okay, you go there. May God give us to advocate on behalf of the refugee. That's what I'm sharing with you those things because, as I said, they're left and forgotten in the camp, in centers, and nobody knows that they exist. The one thing when I asked them, what do you want us to do? They said, please be our voice and don't forget about us. To advocate for our politician, for our people in authority, to advocate on their behalf and not to be forgotten. Thank God he did not forget me. He came to visit my life through that American missionary so I can be his son. Don't forget them. Advocate on their behalf. Fight their fight. Make the difference in their life. I remember one story of a family from Iraq. ISIS killed many Christians and Yazidis in Iraq. The largest town of Iraq called Baghdad. The Muslim changed its name to Karakosh. 70,000+ Christians just drove out of their home. I mean, I can show you pictures of tent and then scattered children, everybody doesn't know what to do with their life. The problem when they move out of their country, Islamic persecution, into neighboring countries, still Islamic countries. So when they put their process and application and everything, well, it doesn't see their light. Light of day, sorry. Because Christian, they can tell immediately by their name. So I had to bring, because we were trying to sponsor them to Canada, I have to bring member of parliament, I have to bring media. A church came together to sponsor them, and they started advocate. Business people came down to that Muslim country there. They went to the embassy. They advocate for their story. They push, make a big story about it. Till we get this family with three little girls into Canada. It took 2.5 years. We never give up. They love the Lord, they accepted Jesus, they attend the church, and they are wanting to make the difference. The husband, he write me, said, I want to do like you. I want to help others as well, you know. We can advocate for the persecuted minorities among the refugees. We can make the difference. The church in Greece, they made the difference. They opened their home, they welcome, because they want to interact with people and share the gospel with them. I pray that you will do the same. I pray that God will use you to make a difference here and beyond for his glory. I don't know how to read this time here. I'm good. I'm good on my time. Yeah. So I just like us really to take time to think about that. Think about our God who came and closed the distant proximity, came all the way, cost him dearly. And I love comment on two words in the Philippians. He said, he obeyed, humble himself first, and obey unto death. That's the cross. Do you know, first of all, the word humble, and I love it, the word humble, just to help you in close proximity. The word humble is come from the Greek word, basically you're put a tab or pause on your brain. Let me explain it further. Do you know the Good Samaritan? When he saw the person who's injured and everybody passing by and nobody care, the Greek word for the person, for that person to react, to go and help him, it was a Greek word meaning from his guts feeling. Not his brain, guts feeling, he went for it. Because if his brain triggered and started talking about it, he said, well, maybe I'm an enemy. Maybe they're saying like, you know, I killed him. I robbed him. Maybe I'll be late for my work and I lose my job. Maybe he would ruin my limousine. I mean, he has his donkey, but Maybe my car. Maybe I'll be trafficker. Maybe whatever. We can come up with so many reasons. Let's not be involved with that. Isn't it amazing how our brains sometimes come with convincing logic to stay with our comfort? Let's not go there. Because there'll be cost to be paid. And sure, he paid the cost. It took him time, he take, and he went. With the leprosy, we see Jesus the same thing. He approached the leper. He wants to heal while everybody running away. Because they hear the sound of the bell, you know, run away from it. That's what compassion does to you. Make you move immediately without letting that brain, sometimes it's really our enemy in a lot of ways. Try to reason and justify it to yourself not to make it happen, you know. Just go. When I respond to the war in Lebanon with Hezbollah in Israel, I didn't think. I went, and then I say, when I get out of there, I go like, what did I do here, you know? Yeah, I learned to pray my last prayer many times. But then in the same time, I believe in the mighty God who my days is numbered. By his permission, I can die. Only by his permission, he called me home. Plus, Paul, he said, this is a game for us. So you see, that's one thing. That's humbleness, you know, before God. And then the obedience, it comes again from a Greek word, which we use it in the acoustic. You know, the word acoustic, ipoakouo, meaning you're under and you're listening. Acoustic, it's not a microphone. You can't talk to it. You just receive, okay? So that's what it is, basically. God, he said, have that mind that's in Christ. You listen and respond. Don't back and forth, argue and debate and reason and find different verses that goes along your line. Just listen and respond. And I pray if God spoke to you today, you listen and you respond. We can bow our head, but I would say if your case is still not settled with God and you want to invite him to your heart to be your Lord and Savior, stand and make declaration. Don't let your brain say, oh, I'm embarrassed. People will think I'm not Christian. All this year I've been attending here. I thought maybe they know they're Christian. Let's not do that and embarrass myself. Don't. Just obey and stand. Say, yes, Lord Jesus, I want to settle my case with you. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter today. If you feel like, oh, I'm too much comfort as a Christian. I come to church and I enjoy the worship. I have my own house. I have my own car. I have my own good living. I don't want to be struggling and going and messing with these refugees and displaced people and then do all of that. I don't want to lose my comfort. Settle that case and say, Lord, humble me and let me obey just like you did in coming to our world. Please, let's bow our head, and I would love to see people standing saying, Lord Jesus, I want to settle my case with you. I want to be your son and your daughter today. And Lord Jesus, I want to humbly come before you. Help me to obey you so I can touch others with your gospel and with your love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you and I praise you for the privilege to be here and for the privilege to meditate on your word. And I thank you and I praise you for the love that transcends all understanding. We praise you for who you are. Lord Jesus, be glorified today in those lives who come to you and say that we want to settle our case with you. We want to be your children. Please write our name in the book of life. And Lord, I pray that from this congregation, many will come before you humbly in obedience, asking you to use them as mighty tool in your hand for your glory and honor among the refugee and the forcibly displaced people of our world. Because we were once refugees. I praise you and I thank you for your prayer, all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.